Well, Happy New Year. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you for joining us again.
Yes, it's again, another opportunity, a new year for new mercies. And even in the midst of a couple challenges that we're having, we're still loved, eh?
We are indeed. Here we are, middle of our 11th year, Barry.
Absolutely. Where did the time go?
Who knows, eh? Who knows?
Well, like they say, yeah. time flies when you're having fun.
Sure does.
Yeah.
So what's and you've been having some fun.
Oh, my.
Continually building up your studio behind you.
Yes. I was saying to Mark today, I'm in my 60s now, so I the old adage, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, and I'm an old dog. I'm feeling older by the day, but I've got some new tricks here in my studio, and I'll just pray that everything works today. And we continue. I said I think the last time we did this, I lost my internet. Right? Was that the last time?
You did, yeah.
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 So.
That was the last time. Yeah, your internet went.
Yeah.
Barry tells me all of his new tricks, and I kind of think, yeah, I'll just go for the KISS principle. Keep it simple. Keep it simple, stupid.
And of course, he's referring to me when he that last.
No. I'm the one. I'm keeping it simple. So.
Oh my goodness.
We have fun, as you can tell.
Oh yeah, for sure. So how was your holiday?
Yeah, it was. I had 2 weeks off work. And we had our Christmas bubble with two of our girls, for Christmas. And then after Christmas, we had our support bubble with our other daughter and family. So we got to see everybody, but it was staggered. It was phased, but, it was the best we could do. And it was nice to see everyone. So yeah. And now back at work this week and, straight into a new lockdown.
Yeah.
Which is in the UK. So there we go.
Yeah, there
but
you
kind
go.
Of, I think we're kind of getting used to it now. We get, the shops have got toilet paper in, and there's rice on the shelves, and I think we know what we're doing a bit more, unlike last March when it was all new. What about you, Barry? How about you?
Well, the same thing. We had in Ontario, where we live in Canada, we had our lockdown. Midnight, Christmas Day. So just on the, so the graciousness of that was we were able to see our kids before the final lockdown. And of course we haven't seen them since. And that's a bit of a challenge as you know, for being a parent and a grandparent. But, we're doing well and, looking forward to a new year of all kinds of excitement and new technology and all kinds of things that are going to happen. And I hope everybody else has had a kind of a restful time, and we're looking forward to, again, just the launching the second half of our 11th year doing this. So now, any announcements? You have something that you wanted to share, right?
Yes. Is that okay?
Yeah. Why don't you do that?
So can I hit the button? So many of you will know, last year I did three different series of seminars. The first one with Barry, the second one with Wynette, and then the third one with Trevor. And we're doing a new series of seminars. I'm doing them with Trevor in February. The 16th to the 18th of February, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we're really kind of, Trevor and I are just going to take those 3 days to explore what it means to encounter the love of the Father and to go beyond that encounter to the experience of the Father's love. Now, these seminars that we're doing in February are a little bit different to the previous ones that we've done, because I've had a lot of requests to do something that is a bit more suitable for time zones in other parts of the world. So these seminars are being geared for Australia and New Zealand, and are therefore running in Australia time evening and New Zealand evening. But for us in the UK, it means, 8:30 in the morning. So UK time, it's 8:30. European time, it's 9:30 in the morning. And we'll be running for two sessions and then a Zoom question and answer. So the same format, but just at a different time of the day. For those of you in North America, you're very, very welcome to join us. But it will be, I think, 3:30 in the morning, which probably isn't very sociable time. However, you can sign up and you'll get the links and you'll be able to watch them, you know, catch up later on in your own time. So really everybody and anybody is really welcome to join us. And as I say, these are just being particularly geared for Singapore, Malaysia, but really focusing on a time zone in the Australian evening. So all of the details are fathertoyou.com/seminars. As usual, there's an online booking form there. The detailed program is on the website. And for the UK and Europe, if you've got time in the mornings, you can join us live. Australia, New Zealand, you can join us live. India, it's the afternoon. Singapore, it's the afternoon. But as I say, for North America, it's kind of middle of the night, so you'll probably want to do catch up. But we really look forward to welcoming you all to join us for that. Trevor's actually in New Zealand at the moment. He's having 3 months there with his family, enjoying the summer and the warmth. He went through his quarantine period before Christmas, all okay, no problems. And he's having some nice time with his family. So he'll be doing it kind of live in the evening, New Zealand time, and I'll be in the early morning. So come and join us, sign up on the website, and you can see all the details. So, Barry, do come back.
Well, there we go. One of the things, just a technical little gadget that both Mark and I have recently got is called a Stream Deck. So we're, if you notice this year that we're getting a little fancier with our switching from different screens, it's because we have a Mission Control keyboard in front of us that can do that a little easier. It may not always work. It's a new toy, but it may not always work, but we'll give it a go anyway. One thing I will mention, I'm starting a school, an online school next week at Catch the Fire in Toronto, Leaders School. And that is, it's a 3-week course online. It's normally in person that they do the schools, but there still may be some spaces available for that too. And it's all online. And if anybody is looking for that kind of encounter with the Catch the Fire, just the DNA of Toronto and the Father's love, and I just encourage you to check that out at I think it's catchthefire.com. So, but enough of all those.
Are you with us next week?
I should be, Lord willing. I will be. Why don't you talk about our special guest next week? Because that's worth mentioning.
Yeah, next week we have a guest speaker on the webcast, very good friend of both Barry and myself, Wes Boxall. Wes and Sharon have actually been on the webcast quite a lot over the 10.5 years that we've been doing it. And they pastor a church in Gloucester in the UK. And you know, I've got to know them, and they've been over. I think they had a season ticket to Toronto in 1994, kind of were there regularly, and that's where they got to know Barry. And they're a lovely couple, and they've really, you know, they've been soaking in this revelation ever since 1994, and they've really caught, you know, the revelation of knowing the Father and being loved by the Father. And and Wes is in this unique position where they're both in the position of pastoring a church just not too far away from where I live, over in Gloucester. And I really count them as friends. And we actually had Wes lined up to speak on a webcast in December, but for various reasons that we couldn't go ahead with that. And he's very graciously said that he can come and join us next week. So he will be our guest speaker next week. And I'm just really looking forward to it. I mean, yeah. Wes has got a real pastoral heart, but just full of the Father's love. And so I just, well, just come and join us. Come and receive from Wes next week. It will be launched on my Facebook page, facebook.com, A Father to You. And hopefully if Barry is with us, then he'll share it onto his pages as well. So normal way of access, normal time, but just looking forward to having Wes with next week.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it as well. One of the things that when I think of Wes and Sharon, I just think of their smiles. And
yes.
It's just like, you know, they impart love just by their faces. So it's just, they're just such a lovely couple. So we're really looking forward to that. Before we kick off, mate, would you mind just opening up and in prayer, launching the new year? There's no pressure. You know, it's just the new year. It's, you know. But pray for me that I can, you know, figure things out here and, as far as technology and that, you know. Well,
a friend of mine says, make the main thing the main thing.
Yeah.
So, I think, Barry, you have spent all afternoon focusing on the main thing of the technology.
Yeah.
And now we're just trusting your focus on the main thing for now of sharing what is on your heart for us.
Amen to that, brother.
Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence with us.
Yeah.
Thank you that you're loving us right now. And Father, just as Barry shares this evening, today, may we really understand the deepest heart cry of our hearts.
Mm.
And may we run into the source, the answer.
Yes, Lord.
May we run deeper into your love. And Father, may the technology work. May that all go smoothly. And Father, just be with Barry as he shares. Just let him speak your words to us.
Mm.
And Father, I just pray for all my brothers and sisters right around the world now that together we would have open hearts to receive all that you want to do and all that you want to say.
Yeah.
And where you want to touch, Father, the deepest need, the greatest need in our hearts, may we be open to respond and to receive all that you want to do.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate that. See you in a bit. So here we are, the first live stream broadcast of 2021. And I want to talk about something that I've just felt it's been really fresh again for me in the last couple of weeks. And when I talked to Mark about, you know, when we both talked about today and who would, if we had anything to share, I said to Mark, I'm not sure if I'm ready to share this yet, because it was just, well, it wasn't, it's a very familiar topic. And of course I'm calling it understanding our deepest needs. I felt like the Father was really, like there's something that I really believe is in his heart for us to know in this revelation and understanding how he wants to father us. And it's in this area of being in touch with our deepest needs. And but before I really am able to really kind of unpack, I think, the heart that he has for us in this area, I feel that the one of the things that we all struggle with, because of the world we live in a fallen world, we live in a broken world. If the kingdom is right side up, then the kingdom of this world is upside down. Our values are in diametric opposition to the Lord, in his heart, his values, everything about him. The world system is just absolutely, just not tracking in the kingdom of God. And I believe because we, you know, there's a saying that says you don't know what you don't know. And I think so much of our lives have been influenced by a world system that we live in, a broken system that I think sometimes the Father, well, I think he wants to kind of break in the best possible way every misguided understanding of his nature, of his kingdom, anything that, you know, we would somehow assume that he is a way that he isn't, because he really wants us to know him as he is. And so it's in this area of need and being needy, having needs, that I really feel that the Father wants to touch each and every one of our hearts today. And so just as I speak, I just want to encourage you, to ask the Father to open your heart to this, that there would be revelation that would come. I just don't want to say words. My heart is that there the spirit of wisdom and revelation somehow through kind of just the broken humanity of my life, that somehow God would breathe on this time together, and that somehow that there would be a fresh bread, fresh manna, fresh revelation for each and every one of us. And so one of the things that when I think about being needy, we talk about little children, you know, and I will be unpacking that in a little bit more, how they are very needy. And, you know, because they're little kids, it's okay, right? We give them the grace and space. They can't do anything for themselves. But if we apply that same description of being needy to an adult, in the culture that we live in, it isn't very much a complimentary term, right? If you call somebody needy, like, what comes to mind for you when you think of that? You know, being needy is a descriptor that most people aren't really happy to identify with, right? It implies that we're weak and we lack the moral fiber to look after ourselves because we have needs. You know, it suggests that maybe we're insecure and that we're broken and we're maybe takers and not givers. You know, so that's kind of the I think that's the a mindset that many of us, that at least where we've grown up, that we have this understanding of need, that those people are needy, and it's not a compliment. And you know, the gold standard of a world system that we live in is very much kind of not being needy. It's like we want to be self-sufficient, we want to be independent, you know, we just want to be self-made men and women. And it seems like that is the what everybody is actually pursuing in life, is that they're trying to be have everything together, that they have no needs, that they've got everything together. But the problem is, how is that working for us as humanity, right? We you know, battle exhaustion and fear and anxiety and depression and self-hatred and, you know, the competitiveness where we're always feeling when we compare ourselves to other people, we feel inadequate and ashamed. And so, you know, when we think about this idea of actually trying to resist this idea of being needy, it really doesn't work too much for us, you know. Even in the church, you know, I believe that if we're not careful, that we can have a misguided understanding of maturity, right? Because when Jesus talked about himself in John 5:19-20, and we know that Jesus is the mature Son of God, right? And the call of the Christian life is to be conformed into the image of the Son. And he himself said the Son can do nothing of himself, but he can only do what he sees his Father doing, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. So in this essence of this understanding of neediness, we have this understanding of maturity, that maturity is self-sufficiency, maturity is independence, maturity is I got my act together, I don't need help, I'm good by myself. That is not a kingdom definition of maturity. Because what Jesus basically said is that I live in complete dependence on my Father. And some places in the scriptures, in the Gospels, he says, I only speak the words that I hear my Father speaking. I only do what I see him doing. I always please him. Jesus lived a life in such dependence in union with his Father. He could actually say in John 14, verse 9, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because he goes on to say, the works that I'm doing aren't my works, but they're the works of him who sent me. You see, Jesus lived in a complete dependence. And in John 15, when he's talking about our dependence on him, you know, he said that I am the vine, you're the branch, my Father is the gardener. And he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, how does that make you feel when you hear those words? Apart from me, you can do nothing. It really does strike a death blow to self independence, self-sufficiency, self. You know, anything of ourselves that we can do it, we can manage it. You know, in our own strength and our own determination and our own discipline, we can make it happen. And Jesus simply blows that out of the water and he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You're just a branch and I'm the vine. But the good news is when we are just totally connected to the vine, that we have all the life source of the vine. But when we try to be a branch, separate, independent, you know, trying to not abide in the vine, then what are we left with? We're just left with dead works. It's interesting how when Jesus appears to the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelations in chapter 3, and of course we know this. This is the church where Jesus had a rebuke of this church. And they basically, he said, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. That's what he says. But then he says this to them. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched and poor and pitiful and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and have salve to put on your eyes so you can see. You see, they went to a place in their life, in their relationship with God, that they felt independent. They felt like they needed nothing. And Jesus said to them, you don't realize your need. You don't realize that you're without me, you can do nothing. And that's why his invitation was, come to me, buy for me gold refined in the fire. Put on white clothes that you understand that in your union with me, you have everything. But when you are trying to make life work on your own, it doesn't work out too well. You see, when I've been thinking this last 2 weeks about this message, I really was beginning to see that the promise of the kingdom of God is for those who are in need. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is speaking in the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount, and he says these words, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You see, when we have a need, then God can meet that need. But if we feel that we are disconnected with any sense of dependence or any personal need in our own life, we just start to try to live in this area of a life of independence. And the reality, if I could talk about the two trees in the garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if I could describe them in one word descriptors, I would call the tree of life the tree of complete dependence upon God. So he would tell us who we are, that we wouldn't have to manage life and figure out what was right and wrong. And I would call the tree of the knowledge of good and evil the tree of independence. You see, I truly believe that Christian maturity is growing and becoming more and more aware of our weakness, becoming more and more aware of our brokenness, becoming more and more aware of our helplessness. You see, there was a woman who washed his feet, and you know she didn't have the greatest reputation, and the Pharisees of the time who saw this and were really offended at Jesus because he just allowed her to worship him in this way of washing his feet with her tears. And when the Pharisees talked to him about it, Jesus made a comment. He said, those who have been forgiven much will love much. Those who have been forgiven little will love little. Now, he's not saying that some people are forgiven more than other people. We've all been forgiven an immeasurable amount. But the reality is, are we aware of the gift of God, the grace of God that has been imparted to us in his forgiveness? Are we aware of our absolute brokenness in our own ability to be able to bring anything to God in our own self-effort? You know, it says in Ephesians 2, he says, by grace are you saved. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And you see, anything of independence, anything of self-sufficiency, anything of religious striving and self-effort and all those things is rooted in this ability to try to say, I don't have any needs. I'm fine on the way I am. You see, I really believe if we are able to actually come to terms with this, it will change our lives. You know, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 to 29, Paul talks about the two kingdoms that are really in opposition, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. And I think we need to, you know, it's really helpful, I guess, I would say, is that we would all take this to heart. He says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Now, when you hear that passage of scripture, I don't know about you, but for me, that is the best news ever. Because you know what that means? I qualify. I'm in. You know, I'm weak. I'm broken. I'm foolish. You know, I'm poor in spirit, you know, and it's just like, but I'm in, because God has chosen the weak things and the foolish things and the poor things of this world to shame those, the things that are in opposition to that. You know, one of the things that, you know, and I've thought about this for many years, and I believe that there's some revelation here that we can all chew on and actually have asked the Holy Spirit to bring more revelation. But there's the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And we know the story where there was a man, and Jesus is telling the story about a man. He wasn't telling about the sons. He was actually talking about the father, because he said there's a man that had two sons. And the younger son wanted his inheritance, and he was very dishonoring to his father. And he said, give it to me. I want what's mine, what is rightfully mine. And so the father divided his estate among the two boys, gave the younger son his inheritance, and then the son went out and he blew everything he had. And I just want to read, and this is Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 13. And it's just kind of interesting. My prayer is that you and I would be able to hear this and to see when he had his aha moment, when he had the turnaround. It says, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a different country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. Hear that. He began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And then he says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And I am here starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. You see, in this story, the father didn't chase him. The father loved him enough to let him go, and it was when he exhausted every resource that he had, when he had nothing left in his bank account, when he was ended up in a pig pen, you know, feeding the pigs, he came to his senses. And I really believe that this is when you and I come to our senses, was when we experience something of need. You see, it was like he had to come and he had no other options, no other abilities to manage life other than, like, you know, he was exhausted every resource, and then he came to his senses and he headed home. And what did the father do in the story? The father didn't rebuke him. He didn't ignore him. He didn't discipline him. He didn't punish him. He ran to him, and the Bible says that he fell on him and he couldn't stop kissing him. You see, the father knows your needs. The Father knows my needs. He understands when we, because oftentimes for me, when I relate to the prodigal son story, the way that I relate to it is I try to do things. I try to fix things. I try to manage things. I try to get out of pickles that I get myself in. I try to, you know, in my own self-effort, until I run into a wall, and that's when I come to my senses. And I go, what am I thinking? Why? I don't have to do this. I have a Father who loves me. And that's when I return home, and I just experience his loving embrace. You see, with the Father, when he sees you and I, when he sees our weakness and he sees the poverty in our spirits, when he sees our foolishness, he's not surprised. He's not angry. He absolutely is filled with love for us. But the problem that we have is that this issue of need is something that often either we try to hide, we try to resist, we try to somehow not acknowledge that we have need. And, you know, I truly believe that any person who is ever born into the kingdom of God has had to come into the kingdom because they've had a need. Like, we don't come into the kingdom of God. We aren't born again. We don't ask Jesus to come into our life because we have no need. You know, the problem is when we share the gospel with people, you know, oftentimes what ends up happening, if they don't have a need, I don't need Jesus, I don't need God, I'm doing fine. But it's when we are in touch with the deepest need in our life, when we begin to realize maybe our life is a failure, maybe we feel, you know, that we need a Savior, we need to be forgiven, we need to be saved, we need to be rescued. That's when we come into the kingdom of God. And the reality is that the need has not changed one bit from the moment you came into the kingdom until today. You see, it says in Romans 5 that when we were powerless, that God loved us. When we were his enemies, Christ died for us. You see, the love of God, when the love of the Father looks at you and I, he doesn't judge us. He is filled with compassion towards us. But the problem is when we try to live our life, manage our life, build walls around us so that we don't get hurt, you know, pretend, have this bravado that we're not weak, that we're not, you know, poor in spirit, that we, you know, we can do everything our own. All it does is it prevents us from coming to our senses and awakening to our true need. And, as many of you guys know, you know, the way that life works for my wife and I is the smaller that we can become and keep in our hearts, the bigger that God can become for us as our Father. And of course, that's what makes children the absolute greatest people on the planet. And of course, you know, if you look at Matthew 18 verses 1 to 5, Luke chapter 18 verse 15 to 17, you know, you can read about how Jesus said that the greatest in the kingdom are little children. But I think one of the things that make little children the greatest in the kingdom is that they are the most needy little people on the planet. You know, they need to be fed, they need to be clothed, they need to be picked up and held, they need to be comforted, they need to be played with. I mean, they just have nothing but need. But, you know, and of course, with being a grandparent, and when I was a parent, you know, all of the resources of mom and dad, all of the resources of aunts and uncles, all the resources of grandma and grandpas are freely available to their little ones when they express their needs. You know, one of the ways that children express their needs is by stretching out their arms. You know, we have our youngest grandchild is Levi. He's going to be 2 this month. But, you know, he'll look up at me. He just comes up and he just stretches his arms up and he goes like this. And you know what? It just absolutely undoes me every time he does that. It's like he doesn't, you know, he has a need whether he wants me, because we have this routine in our house where it, like, I pick him up and we actually go around the house and he points and I'm his chariot and, you know, wherever he wants to go, I go. But maybe he needs to be held. Maybe he needs to be played with. Maybe he needs to be fed. Whatever the need, the simple outstretched arms that he has, it just absolutely touched me. And in that moment, when he raises his arms to express a need to me, there's nothing that I wouldn't do for him. You see, the outstretched arms of a little child communicate need to the ones that love them, right? When they are needy, they're tired or sad, they lift their arms. It communicates that they need their parents, a need that leads to love. And I think one of the challenges, and this is the one thing that I pray that God would just help us with this, is that many people who struggle to receive a deeper revelation of the Father's love, perhaps they haven't got in touch with their core need to be loved. Perhaps they haven't really given themselves permission to face that they are really, really needy. You see, I think part of the challenge of growing old is that we lose the humility to have outstretched arms towards God. Instead of extending our arms towards God and saying, Abba, I need, help me, I'm afraid, I'm scared, pick me up, would you comfort me? We cross our arms and say, we're fine. We don't need God. We'll get through it. You know, that we'll manage somehow. But you see, I think oftentimes we believe that being needy is a sign of weakness. And as the broken world system that we live in, it's like we struggle to be weak. And the reality is, you know, when we put this bravado on where we pretend we're something we're not fooling God. We might be fooling the people around us. We may be even fooling ourselves. But the reality is that we all are weak in some area in our life. We all need to be loved. We all are afraid of things. And the Father just wants us to be able to come to Him with those needs and be absolutely honest. You see, sometimes we think that it's better to be tougher and self-sufficient than to be weak and foolish and poor. But the Father says that He is delighted to give the kingdom to those who have a childlike heart. Those who are weak, those who are poor, those who are foolish. You see, the truth is that when we are needy, when we need from God, when we, you know, as babies would need from their parents, that leads to bonding. When an infant gets hungry and cries, the parents hear the cry, right? And they feed the child, and the child is satisfied. What happens in that exchange is bonding. You know, when a child needs to be played with and expresses that need to their parent, and then the parent comes and starts to play on the ground and roll and wrestle and tickle, in that meeting of that need is bonding. And it's the most amazing thing. And I went to a website, and I just want to read this. This is raisingchildren.net.au, so in Australia. And this is talking about just some encouragement to young parents and how to bond with their babies. It says, bonding and attachment are always responding to your newborn's needs with love, warmth, and care. When you do this, you become a special, trusting person in a baby's life. Bonding between you and your newborn is a vital part of development. When your newborn gets what they need from you, like a smile, a touch, or a cuddle, your newborn feels the world is a safe place to play, learn, and explore. This lays the foundation for your child's development and well-being throughout childhood. Bonding also helps your baby grow mentally and physically. For example, repeated human contact like touching, cuddling, talking, singing, and gazing into each other's eyes make your newborn brain release hormones. Those hormones help your baby's brain to grow. And as your baby's your newborn's brain grows, your newborn starts to develop memory, thought, and language. You see, I truly believe when I was thinking about this and this idea of need, that so many of us aren't able to bond with our Heavenly Father in the way that He wants to, because willing, or we are, haven't even given ourselves permission to ask God to show us what our deepest need is. And, you know, because the truth is that bonding, when we bond with God, when we express our need to God, He is our helper in our time of trouble. Our ever-present help. He is our provider. He is our encourager. He is our comforter. He is our father. He is our mother. He is just everything that you and I would need. He is the all-sufficient one. He is El Shaddai. And the more that we are able to give ourselves permission to say, Father, I'm afraid. I need to be loved. I need to hear your voice. I feel alone. When we're able to be able to express that need, then the Father can come and He can comfort and He can provide and He can encourage and He can strengthen. And in that absolute bonding process, that leads to a deep relationship. See, if we don't acknowledge our need to God, we will have difficulty bonding with Him. And if we don't bond with Him, we will miss out on a deep relationship with Him. And that's the very meaning of life itself, is for us to be able to be so connected with God, so joined with Him in every way, that we would be able to experience His fathering, His mothering, His parental love, the love of a friend, the love of a bridegroom. Like, every love that you and I need is expressed in the heart of God for us. But if we don't get in touch with the core foundation that we need to be loved, that we need His help, that we need to be comforted, that we need to be rescued, then we'll be like the prodigal son, trying to do everything in our own resources, and just until, you know, we run out of opportune options and we end up in a pig pen. But even then, the Father is there. He's waiting. He wants to absolutely pour out His love on us. There's one of my favorite authors is a man named Brennan Manning, and this is a quote from him. He says, "The reason we never enter the deepest relationships with God is that we seldom acknowledge our utter neediness before Him." I'll just read that again. "The reason we never enter the deepest relationships with God is that we seldom acknowledge our utter neediness before Him." See, I just want to encourage you today, and I'm speaking to myself when I'm sharing this message. It's okay to put up our arms towards God and express the need to be picked up. You see, that is just humility. Little children are the most humble people on the planet. In Matthew 18, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He says, whoever humbles himself like a little child will be considered the greatest in the kingdom. And little children have this beautiful humility that they have deception, or that they can do things on their own. They need their parents to pay the mortgage. They need parents to drive them to school. They need parents to play with them and to teach them and to hold them and to guide them. And you see, James 4:10 says, "Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up." You see, if we would just be able to give ourselves permission to be able to be honest with ourselves and honest with the need. We're living in a world right now that is very, very, you know, scary. You know, like, all of the best minds of the world are still not being able to sort out so many of the issues that we're dealing with on a global scale. And if you're feeling alone through this, maybe you're shut in and you have no one that you can connect with, or maybe you don't know what the financial future is because you've lost your job, or maybe you know, you're sick, or maybe you've had loved ones die and you feel like there's something broken in you. Go to the Father with these things and say, "Father, I'm just afraid. I'm just confused. I don't know what the future holds." And just allow Him to lift you up. You see, He will lift you up. He will carry you, because that's what the Father does. In Isaiah 40:11, it says, speaking of God in His heart verse, it says, "He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries those close to His heart. He gently leads those who have young." You see, I truly believe that the kingdom of God is all about meeting our felt needs. When Jesus came and he actually announced his public ministry, he went into the synagogue and he read from Isaiah 61. And this is what it says. These are the words that Jesus said to launch his public ministry. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from dark for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." Do you see how there were needs? Freedom for those who are in prison, sight for those who are blind, beauty for those who have ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for depression, the spirit of despair. You see, I believe that the Father wants us to get in touch with our most foundational needs in the way that we relate to Him today. And I believe that when we are able to do that, that it opens up a greater, deeper way for you and I to bond with God. That in that bonding place where we express a need to Him, just like little kids do, and then as a parent, He responds and He meets that need. And in that bonding, it leads to deep relationships. You see, I believe that a childlike heart is the doorway to bonding. And bonding leads us into a deeper relationship with Abba. Psalm 46 verse 1 says that God, and this is the Passion Translation, he says, "God, you're such a safe and powerful place to find refuge. You're a proven help in time of trouble and always available whenever I need you." When I came into this revelation of the Father's love, I met two men that became very, very important to me. It was James Jordan and Jack Winter. And Jack Winter, he prayed for me. And before he prayed for me, he asked me a question. And it was just this. He said, "Barry, can you be a little boy that needs to be loved?" And in that very moment that Jack asked me that, I had a very, very painful memory growing up with my dad. And that memory was like a domino, and it just started to knock many, many dominoes of all these memories of my life, and just the devastation of not being loved like I needed to be loved. And I don't know how God does it, but in that moment, I went from being an adult man with three children to being a five-year-old little boy, brokenhearted, just weeping uncontrollably, realizing that I need to be loved. I need a dad. And one of the things that I so appreciate with Jack and his ministry and the short time that my wife and I were able to know him is that often when he would minister to people to impart the revelation of the Father's love to them, that he would always, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, just bring them to their deepest point of need. Can you be a little girl that needs to be loved? Can you be a little boy that needs to be loved? And my encouragement to you tonight is, would you be willing to stretch out your arms to God? Not the big you, not the competent you, not the self-sufficient you, but the little you. Because the truth is that every adult on planet Earth were just little boys and little girls who ate their cereal and got big. See, I truly believe that if we try to relate to God as a father like an adult, we're going to miss it. Because the relationship is a child with their Abba. And I believe even right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Father wants to just ignite in our hearts just the Abba cry. Where the Bible says in Romans 8, starting at verse 15, that we've not received a spirit that makes us a slave to fear, but we've received the spirit of sonship by which we cry, Abba, Father. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. and heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Would you be willing today to just ask the Father to show you your greatest need? And just the way that Jack Winter asked me, I just want to ask you the same question. The most important thing is our need to be loved. Can you be a little boy or a little girl that needs to be loved? Because I truly believe that the Father in his heart right now is just longing for you to be able to come into this place of knowing that he is the ever-present help in your time of trouble. He is your Father. So Father, I just pray now in the name of Jesus that you would just, Father, would you just help us even right now to be in touch with our deepest need, the need to be loved, the need to be fathered, the need to know that we're safe in your arms. Father, would you just awaken in us the need to be comforted. So many of us were taught as little children, big boys don't cry, and we just shut our hearts down. But the truth is we need to be comforted today as much as we did when we were little. So I just encourage you now by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would ask the Father to show you your deepest need, your greatest need to be loved. Because he is the Father that you have been looking for your entire life. Well, Father, so I just lift up my hands. I just stretch up my hands to you, Abba. Pick me up, Abba. I need to be held. I need to be rescued. I need to be comforted. Wow. Thank you, Abba. Thank you that you are a father to the fatherless and that you put the lonely into families. Help us, Lord, to just be reconnected with our complete and absolute neediness of you. That we celebrate that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. We are helpless. We are just branches. But you never wanted us to be any more than connected to the vine. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Mark, I just wondered if you would come back.
Yeah. Wow. I don't need to add anything, Barry. You said it. It's I think the only, just one little thing I'll add. I think we are all very aware of the real needs that we face. But the real needs that we face on a daily basis are not necessarily the deepest need.
Yeah.
And the real needs can take over. But the deepest need is the one that Barry's been talking about. The need to be loved, the need for affirmation, the need for the Father to say, you're my son, you're my daughter,
yeah,
I love you. See, those words unlock the deepest need in our heart.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Barry. Good.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Good words. And thank everybody. I just want to thank you for coming. And I thought that might be appropriate to this week is the 22nd anniversary of when I first shared the Father's love letter, and as we just say goodbye to you, bless you until next week and when we see you again. I thought it's just 5 minutes. And if you feel like you would like just to stay on for those 5 minutes and just hear the Father's love letter to you, and then in that, just ask the Father just to make those your deepest cry of your heart real to you, and that you would be able to feel the freedom to express it to God. Because He wants to comfort you. He wants to bond with you. And He wants to go deeper in a revelation of love than you've ever had before. So on that note, thank you everybody for coming. And I'll just end with the Father's love letter, and then we'll end the broadcast. So thank you.
Yeah.
See you next week.
The words you are about to experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and He is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is His love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your Dad, Almighty God.